The Bible in Amos 3:8 says, "A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can prophesy?" The news of each day reveals troubling developments both here in America and around the world. How can anyone make sense of the events playing out daily across our world? Is there any relationship between what the Bible predicted many centuries ago and what we see happening both spiritually and geopolitically? Stay tuned for my conversation with Pastor Carl Gallops on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. I'm very excited to announce a new partnership with the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where Soaring Eagle Radio is heard every Monday at 2 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Their website is prepperbroadcasting.com. Soaring Eagle Radio is also heard on Global Star Radio Network every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. And you can check us out there at gsradio.net. We're also heard on Red Nation Rising Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. Their website is rednationrising.us. We're heard in Lima on WTTP-FM Saturday evenings at 11, Sunday evenings at 9, and their website is WTTPFM.com. And of course, you can find us on all of the different social media platforms and listen to every episode from our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest today is Pastor Carl Gallops. He's the longtime senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. He's a best-selling author of multiple books, including his most recent, When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Implications of Ancient Prophecies for Our Times. And that's the topic of our conversation today. Pastor Gallops is a radio talk show host, heard nationally and internationally, a frequent commentator for WorldNet Daily, and a radio and TV guest giving insight into biblical and geopolitical issues. Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio, Pastor Carl.
Oh, Brother Mike, thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to this.
Yes, this is your book is doing quite well from everything that I can ascertain from different places that I visited. It's been well received, so that's good to know. One reason that I think that is so is because prophecy today is in some circles is kind of poo-pooed and really relegated to the dustbin, and I find that tragic. Don't you?
I find that extremely tragic, Mike, and I speak about that in my book. The bottom line is almost a quarter of the Bible concerns prophecy, and most of that concerns prophecy of the last days, and particularly the time just before the return of Jesus Christ. And I'm not a date setter. I'm not a sensationalist. I'm not one of those Chicken Little running around, screaming the sky is falling. But look, I've been a pastor, preacher, teacher of the word for 30 years, and before that was an investigator and a law enforcement officer for 10 years, and And so I've got 40 years of life experience just watching what's going on around me, knowing and comparing that against the contextually interpreted Word of God. And we're living in the most profoundly prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And our understanding of that then governs the way the church should operate and the way our lives should be lived for advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so to deny today's church and today's congregants of that prophetic word is a real tragedy, to use your words.
Yes.
I preach the whole counsel of God, as I'm sure you do. I don't just only preach prophecy, but I'm always looking to show people how the principles, precepts, and proclamations of God's word tie right into daily living. And so much of that has to do with the prophetic times in which we're living, brother.
Yes, amen, brother. Amen. Well, you're going to be at Hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas, March the 31st to April the 2nd. Now, this is going to be a terrific conference with a lineup of some of the top speakers on certainly prophetic issues, but issues that are facing the church today. Do you have any idea, Pastor Carl, about where the Lord is leading you as far as a message?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, in fact, I wish they'd give me 4 or 5 sessions, because I've just got too much to share. But no, brother, listen, just generally speaking, yes, I'm going to be speaking about the prophetic times in which we're living and proving the point that I just made. We're living in the most profoundly prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. There's no denying it. And I can prove it from the scriptures. I can prove it from the headlines of today's news. And you know, when I say I can prove it, I'm not saying that with my chest stuck out. I'm just saying, to the church, wake up, church, wake up, pulpits, wake up, pastors. We don't have the luxury, if we ever have had, but we certainly don't have the luxury anymore of fussing and fighting over the size of our buildings and the color of the carpet and who's got more influence than the other. I mean, we are living in some amazingly prophetic times, and I'm going to be expounding upon that, showing it from the scriptures and right out of the headline news. Hopefully the Lord will use my little portion of that awesome conference to rouse the church.
Yes, amen. Folks, you can go to Hear the Watchman website and get your tickets online for that. Again, that's going to be Friday, March 31st through Sunday, April the 2nd. Complete list and lineup of speakers are there, but this is a conference that you won't want to miss. I'm excited to hear my brother Carl preach and give a prophetic word, as well as many others. Pastor, I mentioned Amos 3:8 in the introduction, and so I'm wondering if that had anything to do with the title of the book.
Yeah, it had everything to do. That's exactly where the title comes from, because you and I know, and most of your listeners, students of the word lion in the scriptures can be, it can be everything from the lion of God's word, the lion of the voice of prophecy, to the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ himself, or Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So context is everything, but it always is. I tell folks that I preach to the three most important principles of biblical interpretation: context, context, context.
Yes, that's right.
But Amos chapter 3, verse 6, 7, and 8, I don't have that scripture right in front of me, but let me just paraphrase it, and I can get it pretty close. But it basically says, when the sovereign Lord is about to do something, does he not first reveal that to his prophets, to his people? And then the next verse says, when the lion roars, who will not fear? Who will not tremble? When the sovereign Lord has spoken, who can help but prophesy? And so the premise of my book is, hey guys, the lion is roaring. We're sitting around our campfires in the village, and out on the edge of the village is a roaring lion, and the natives go about their business as though they don't hear it. And so I set out to show this. And let me just say, this is the only advertisement for the book I'm going to do. The rest of it, we're just going to be talking about the principles of where we are. But I want your listeners to understand that, brother, this book doesn't deal, you don't have to be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I don't deal with that. And it's unlike any other prophecy book out there, in that what I do, I just simply take what the Word of God says about the last days, and I compare it to what we're doing, what's happening in our world right now. And it's all done contextually in the Word of God and contextually from the headline news. And it's just, and there's 35 chapters, but each of the chapters only has 5 or 6, 7 pages. It reads quickly, snappily. It's right up, pops right off the headline news, right, thrust you right into the scriptures to, for a contextual study of the Word, to help folks understand that, oh my gosh, we really are, without setting any dates, we're getting close. I mean, either to the rapture of the church or, you know, some tough times for the church, depending upon which eschatology scheme that you take. But the point is, regardless of the timing of the rapture and all of that, the point is, it's time for the church to arise, to engage, to get engaged, to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We've been raised up for such a time as this, Brother Mike, and the times are prophetic. And with that high, with those exciting, profoundly prophetic times comes a particularly high calling to the church, Brother.
Yes, amen. Amen, Pastor Carl. Well, one of the most important statements that you've made thus far, and I'm just going to cherry pick it right out of everything else that you said, was that we're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a mouthful. And that, as much as anything else, should alert our listeners to the importance of teaching and preaching the prophetic material in the book and tying that in to current events. That's what really needs to be done. So when we're talking about prophecy, and we're talking about the nations that the Bible mentions that will be involved in the last days developments, well, that certainly includes the nations of the Middle East and specifically Israel. And my statement is this, or I'll try to pose it as a question, Pastor Carl, but Israel will always be at the center of any prophetic, any biblical prophetic word concerning the end times events. True or false?
No, absolutely true. We should interpret all end time prophecy through the happenings in Israel and the Middle East first. Now, there are other regions and nations and elements involved. I mean, the Bible speaks of a demonic outpouring on the whole world in the last days. The Bible speaks of the whole world being forced to take a mark, et cetera, et cetera. So the globe is going to be involved. But the focus of it, as you just so beautifully spoke, is Israel and the Middle East. I mean, Ezekiel 37, the return of Israel. Ezekiel 38, the nations of the Middle East and perhaps, you know, Russia and the Stan nations and maybe even China and, you know. So the Middle East, Israel, the nations of the world. I mean, over and over, God says, you want to know what's happening? Watch the nations.
Yes.
And Ezekiel 39, he says, when he brings Israel back, in Ezekiel 37, and in Ezekiel 38, when he says, and here's the coalition of nations that will form to come against that returned Israel. And then Ezekiel 39, 2 or 3 times, God says, and I'm doing this so that the nations will know that I am the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, it all revolves around Israel and or the Middle East. Yeah.
And it's very interesting to watch all of the goings-ons, the machinations of the political machines, if you will, in action in the Middle East. We think about Turkey, we think about Syria, and those are certainly two nations that we need to pay attention to as well, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they are. In fact, I've got a chapter on each, or actually I think I have 2 or 3 chapters on Turkey and a chapter or two on Syria. And one thing that I've been told over and over and over in 3 decades of ministry is that God has given me the gift of taking very complex topics and making them graspable for the masses. And if God has given me that gift, I praise Him for it. And one of the things that I've done in the book, and I've been told that this has happened again, what's happening in Syria and what's happening in Turkey, two different but connected things, are extremely complex happenings. Extremely. I mean, they go back ages and ages. I mean, Syria is one of the oldest known inhabitants of mankind on the planet. You know, Turkey, the former center of the Ottoman Empire, which was built on the blood and the jihad of Islam. But both of them are going through massive changes. Right now, Syria is plunged into an irreconcilable civil war. Now, those words are not mine. Those are Putin's words and other world leaders. Turkey is on the rise as a resurrected Ottoman Empire. Turkey is before our eyes becoming the seat of Satan that Jesus said it was in Revelation 2 at Pergamum. Yes. He said, that's where Satan has his throne.
That's right.
And we're watching it happen right before our eyes. And in the midst of all of that, Russia has planted itself in Syria with its troops launching attacks. China has planted itself in the Middle East and has given thousands of troops to Russia. Russia, perhaps Magog, Russia, has aligned itself squarely with Persia,
yes,
of Ezekiel 38, which is Iran, as you know.
Yes.
Until 1935, Iran was known as Persia. It was on the maps as Persia. So, I mean, for the first time in history, for the first time in global history, we have now watched the arrival of Russia, China, into the Middle East with troops joined together on the borders of in Syria of all places, mm-hmm, joined with Iran, and Turkey imploding into an Islamic caliphate. Russia and Turkey, who used to hate each other, are now actually talking alliances,
mm-hmm,
and in the middle of it, little Israel is sitting down there, and for 8 years it's been beat up by the United States of America, and along comes a man named Donald Trump who's trying to make nice with them, but the globalist elite, the Jew haters, the Israel haters, are erupting in furor.
Yes.
The demons of hell are roaring. We are living in prophetic times, brother.
We certainly are. But one of the things I like about your book too, Carl, is you don't shy away from tying in all of the technology, the technological advances, in fact, that we have seen in the last couple of decades. Those are a fulfillment of prophecy as well, aren't they?
Yeah, listen, let me tell you something, brother. Brother Mike, listen, I could speak for hours on this. See, that's why I said when you asked me what I was going to be speaking on at Hear the Watchman,
yeah,
I don't know, yet I do know. There's so many things I want to talk about, so I haven't narrowed it down yet. But
yes,
okay,
yes.
So let's talk about technology.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, where do I begin? Let me begin here. The earliest documents, I mean, the youngest documents of the Bible are the New Testament documents. The youngest of those are about 2,000 years old. So over 2,000 years ago, the Bible, going way back to the Old Testament, starting in, I mean, throughout, but I mean, Daniel very, very clearly. Then you get into Revelation. It speaks, there are technologies that are spoken of that when they were given, when they were written, they would have appeared to have, they would have sounded as complete science fiction. And, I mean, think of the technologies in Revelation, right? 2,000 years ago, John, living in a day when they're still riding camels and walking everywhere they go, he's on a rock island in the Roman Empire,
mm-hmm,
and the technology, the weapons technologies are spears and bows and arrows and swords.
Yes.
That's it.
Right.
Okay. And he is thrust into our lifetime and beyond. And he writes of things like the whole world will see something at once. The whole world will bow and worship a one world leader who will rule the kings of the earth. The whole world will see these things. This king will, this beast will call down fire from heaven and signs and wonders. There will be some kind of an image erected that will begin to live and breathe and move.
Yes.
People will be overwhelmed by it. They will begin to worship him. He will cause the whole world to take a mark. Think of that one statement alone.
Yes. Yeah.
First of all, the whole world hadn't even been discovered. Second of all, take a mark. What kind of technology would you have to have to either force or have people volunteer to take a mark? What kind of mark would it be?
Yes.
They didn't have that kind of technology or that kind of power in those days. I mean, I could just go on and on.
Yes.
So now, all of that science fiction sounding for 2,000 years, brother,
yeah,
until just about 40, 50 years ago. I mean, shoot, it's only been a little over 100 years since we were all walking or riding horses or buggies and wagons.
That's right.
I mean, now we've landed on the moon. We've got space vehicles that have gone beyond our galaxy and beyond our solar system. We go under the water, over the water. We drive down the road every day, 70, 80 miles an hour in little steel tubes on interstate highways. We don't even think about it. We fly through the air. I mean, we are living in George Jetson world.
Yes.
And we've got computers in front of us, and we walk around with cell phones where we can look at each other and talk to each other all over the world. And yes. I mean, it's astounding. And now the headlines of the news, just in the last couple of years, transhumanism, CRISPR-Cas9, genetic editing, gene splicing, hybrids, chimera technology, mixing pigs and humans, breeding, manipulating the genetics of infants. They believe now we can start growing babies from two men or two women by taking stem cells, and doesn't even have to be in the womb, and doesn't even have to have a man and a woman anymore. And I mean, it's just going on and on. It's getting to the days of Noah, brother,
which is
what Jesus said in Luke 17. The end is going to be just like the days of Noah. Well, the technology is exponentially exploding right under our noses. We're the first generation to see it happen. The exponential growth curve of technology has just begun. And even the technological experts, listen, people who don't know the Lord, document this in my book, researchers, leftist liberal researchers who are thrilled with their work and technology, some of them are beginning to write about, oh my gosh, this is Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When we open it, we can't close it.
That's right.
And some of this technology, listen, I'm not one of those old guys that thinks all technology is evil. I love technology. I don't know what I would do without cell phone and microwaves and computer and internet. And, you know, but also, I think, here's an illustration. Nuclear technology. Now, that's an old illustration, but it came about, I mean, it really came to its fruition, in, of course, in the 1940s and the use of the nuclear weapons, et cetera. But I mean, look. Nuclear technology, wow, look what we've done with nuclear medicine. Amazing. Praise God for that. Look what we've done with nuclear energy, nuclear technologies that go to the fields of science and medicine and energy. And I mean, that's astounding.
Yeah.
I praise God for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that Pandora's box was open. Look what else it caused.
Yeah. Right.
Now we have nuclear weapons, and you say, okay, well, nuclear weapons, big deal. Yeah, but the problem was we used them. And then that showed the world what kind of astounding power and world control you could have. Okay, what did that cause? Well, it started a nuclear arms race because everybody wanted it.
Yeah.
Well, what did that cause? It caused a proliferation of it because if one nation had more than the other, then the other nations had to have more than that nation. Well, if that happened, then the nation that started off had to have more than the others, and it never ends.
Sorry.
Well, what did that cause? The terrorist understood, man, even we can control the world now if we can get our hands on that. Now we have worldwide terrorism, and what are we afraid of? That they're going to get their hands on nuclear weapons. I mean, it just goes on and on and on until it controls and grips the world.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, we're in another technological age that's as bad as that or worse. Now we're talking about sex robots, killer robots, splicing genes, mixing animals and humans, changing the entire face of the ecology. Those are words from scientists, leftist liberal scientists who are claiming we can now change the ecology of the entire world into whatever we want it to be.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're claiming to be God.
Yes. That's right.
So that's where we are. I mean, you're probably sorry you asked me the question. I'm sorry. We could talk for hours. I don't know. You might have a specific question.
Well, I mean, another example of that, what you've been talking about, Pastor Carl, is when I was saved 35 years ago now, we used to wonder even then, how in the world could the entire world celebrate the death of the two witnesses in Jerusalem and there, and that would be broadcast all over the world. How in the world could that, you know, 40 years ago, how in the world could that happen? Well, news, you know, is 5-10 seconds. People know what happens anywhere.
24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and you're carrying it around in your hand in a phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's astounding. And listen, in my book I have an example. While I was writing the book, my son called me. He was in the jungles of Guatemala on a mission trip, building some buildings, some housing, and he was in a jungle where the people told him that they had never actually laid eyes on a real white person before. They knew white people existed, of course, but they had never had one in their village. So my son was just like this rock star to them, you know. They're all around him. Well, anyway, he said after spending some time with him, he asked him, he said, well, listen, I've got American money. I want to change it into your currency so that I can do business with you. And they said, well, there's a shack right over there that's kind of the bank, you know, where you can get that done, perhaps. So my son goes over there, and the guy, they refused to change the money because they didn't want American money. Plus, they didn't trust him. They'd never seen a white man before. But the other villagers were coming in and doing business, and on the desk in the shack of a building was a biometric scanning device.
What?
And the people couldn't bank until they swiped their palm across the device. My son went out of his mind.
Oh,
he said, where did you get this? They said, the government is making us do this. Now get this. So then when my son started going back through the village, he said in the next day or two, he noticed almost all of them had cell phones. And he asked him, he said, where'd you get these? The government. Listen, brother, they're living in the jungles and mountains of Guatemala. They've never seen a white man, but they've got cell phones and biometric scanning.
Oh, my goodness.
So, brother, we're there.
We're there.
I mean, we're there. Yeah. And so we talk about technological explosion, and I know some of the young people that are listening are thinking we're just a couple of old men that are having trouble with technology, but that's not true.
Yeah, not
the
true.
Young people that are listening need to realize all the stuff they take for granted only appeared just before they were born.
That's right.
It wasn't here. And the stuff you and I are talking about right now has only been around for the last 5 or 6, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, eternal life technologies, CRISPR-Cas9. I mean, I could go on. That's only been around for a handful of years. But we're so immersed, we're so engulfed in technological explosive technology that we take it for granted. It's just we live in the age of wonders and marvels and technological, you know, amazements. And our young people grow up in that. It's kind of like the space program. My mom and dad would sit glued to the television every time a missile was shot in the air. On the other hand, I was raised in it. I was born in it.
Mm-hmm.
I could care less when I was a kid. Now, of course, I'm a geek now and I love it. But back then, I mean, that was just, that's boring,
yeah.
You know, because I was born into it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that's happening now. These kids think that we've always had cell phones and internet and Google and, you know, and Bluetooth. And and even the words I just used 5 years from now are going to be archaic. But anyway.
Isn't that the truth? Yes.
Yep,
yeah, absolutely. Well, Carr, you also have an entire chapter in the book on the Shemitah. And just in case, I think most of my listeners understand what that is, but just in case there are some listening that have not only never heard the word but don't have any clue what it means, could you explain what it is, first of all, and why that's important?
Yeah, I can. And listen, this whole topic can be very complex. So again, I'm going to ask God to let me use my little gift here, and I'm going to make it very simple. So for those of your listeners that know way more about this than I'm going to speak, please forgive me. I'm trying to take the complexity out of it. But basically, at its foundational level, the word Shemitah is a Hebrew word, and it translates to releasing. Is one of the translations. It speaks of it also speaks of sevens, and ever since the children of Israel came into the land and began to settle into a nation, their life was divided into sevens of years, periods of 7 years, and that was a cycle, a Shemitah cycle. And every 7 years, there were things that would happen. There would be things that would be released, contracts and land and, you know, those kinds of things. And then there was a period of seven sevens. So at the end of seven periods of sevens, that would be 49 years, and then the next year was the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, or a super Shemitah, if you would. And that was the year that all properties that people owned were reverted back to their original owners. All slaves were set free. Interesting, the Orthodox Jews don't celebrate Jubilee anymore. Right. It's just, that was probably a little too tough for them. But the Shemitah cycles, they still observe and have all kinds of, you know, traditions that they have built up around it, but even outside of God's word, if you can imagine that. But anyway, it's a system of sevens. Okay, well, here's the deal, and here's what's so important about this. 2015, to make it correspond to our calendar, 2015/16 was a Shemitah year. And then 2016/17 is a super Shemitah cycle, Jubilee. So we're in a really cool time on the Hebrew calendar. But I know building up to the Shemitah year of 2015-16, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, wrote a book about it. It became a huge bestseller. But he was saying, and people that don't know him, I know him personally, and I've read his books, and I've been with him. In fact, he's in a documentary movie with me. I've been to his home. I've been to his church. He's a great guy. He's a solid biblical guy. But he was writing about that he had done some research and went back through these periods of sevens on the Hebrew calendar and discovered that amazing things. I mean, 1948 was a Shemitah year. Gee, what happened then? Israel was born. Yeah. You know, and he goes up through these Shemitah years and discovers that almost every major financial collapse or depression or super recession occurred in a Shemitah year, not only in America, but around the world at various times. Other, very, very monumentous things happened, like the birth of Israel. I mean, every one of these seven-year periods marked tremendously prophetic things and or acts of judgment or warning from heaven. And so leading up to the time that we're in now, 2015 through 2017, let's say, he was saying, look, I'm not making predictions. I'm not claiming the world's going to end. I'm not claiming the economic system's going to collapse. But he says, but I can tell you something's going to happen that's going to speak to judgment and prophecy and should shake the world. Well, but so many people, so many detractors, and I know Satan was involved in this, started spreading out there that, oh, well, you know, nothing's going to happen, and look, the world didn't collapse, and the Lord didn't return, and the economy didn't collapse, and so therefore it was all a bunch of junk. Well, Jonathan Kahn didn't say any of that. What he said was, here's what's happened in the past. We need to keep our eyes open for now. All right, well, what I did in my book, though, and that people that read this are flabbergasted. They said, oh my gosh, we had no idea. And I say, yeah, that's why I wrote the book, because people don't have any idea. But the Shemitah cycle, we did not miss the Shemitah. Brother Mike, we did not miss it. I mean, let me tell you what happened. And I don't have my book in front of me, so I'm just doing some of this by memory. There were about 12 astounding things. Let me just tell you. It was in the beginning of the Shemitah year that Russia shows up in the Middle East with its troops and starts aligning with Iran. First time in history you're watching Ezekiel 38 come together. And that's not just some crazy preacher that wrote a book. I'm talking about Orthodox Jews in Israel who don't care anything about Christ, but they know the Old Testament and they know the prophecies. They're saying, oh my word, we're watching Ezekiel 38, excuse me, happen right before our eyes. And that happened at the very beginning of the Shemitah cycle. Then right behind it, China opens up its first military base, Eastern Africa, in their history, through which they're supplying thousands of troops into Syria connected with Russia. And they're just 80 miles from the United States' biggest Middle Eastern military outpost, from where we send troops into the Middle East. Wow. So that was amazing.
Yes.
But that's not the ending of it. I mean, then in the middle of the Shemitah 2015, June 26th, right in the middle of it, the world's largest Christian nation, the largest Christian nation the planet has ever known since the time of Jesus, the United States of America, exactly in the middle of the Shemitah, the Supreme Court ruled, we don't know what a marriage is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that, for the first time in our history, we put an elected U.S. official in prison, Kim Davis, because she said, I believe a marriage is between a man and a woman. Right after that, the then sitting president ordered to millions of students in schools all over America that girls and boys should be able to use the same bathrooms together under penalty of law if they didn't. I mean, it just, a flood came, a sexual perversion flood. Now, some of that tide is being turned back as we speak right now, but not the gay marriage thing, which is the sign, Luke 17, the days of Lot that Jesus said. The largest Christian planet. Now, I mean, listen, other nations on the planet, I think 12 or 13 prior to us, have declared either legally or socially acceptable gay marriage. All right, we weren't the first, but we are the most influential, the most powerful, and the largest Christian nation on the planet, the most blessed,
yes,
unarguably.
Yes.
And we spit in the face of God.
Yes.
Then, in the midst of all of that, Benjamin Netanyahu came to Congress, stood before Congress at the Feast of Purim, which celebrates the Book of Esther, and begged our Congress, please don't sign this agreement with Iran on the nuclear deals.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ancient Persians. They hate us. They want to destroy us. I'm here with you at the Feast of Purim, Esther, reminding you that in the days of Esther, Haman represented the Persians. He went to the king of Persia, cut a deal with him to destroy the Jews. And I'm here to tell you it's happening again. Please don't do it. After he gave that speech in the middle of Shemitah, Obama trashed Netanyahu, mocked him, started leveling punishment against the congressmen that were supporting Netanyahu. And then Obama not only signed the treaty, but he purposely changed the date of the signing to correspond with the date that is in the Book of Esther, the very day that Haman signed the compact with Artaxerxes to kill the Jews. I mean, brother, and then within a few months, Netanyahu was standing in front of the United Nations giving the same speech. The General Assembly, over half of them didn't even show up, and that was the famous 40 seconds of silence. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah, that was that speech. And he begged prophetically the king of Israel, if you will. And I'm not calling Netanyahu a king. I'm just saying that he's the one ruler of the now united nation of Israel that has returned prophetically. He is begging the number one empire of the world, the superpower, please do not align yourself with Persia. And not only did we do it, but we purposely changed the signing of it to match the Book of Esther.
Yeah.
That happened in the Shemitah year. Not counting the financial world markets, the trillions of dollars that were lost right as the year turned. It's all documented in my book. On and on and on it goes. I could talk for an hour about that. But that's what that's about. I mean, we're in one of those cycles, and look what's happening. Unprecedented things are happening. And I think we're paying the price. Brother, look how close we came in this last election. And this is still not over. This demonic outpouring is just, but look how close we came. I am not saying Donald Trump is the savior of America. Heck, he might turn out to be the Antichrist, Mike. I mean, who knows, you know? But I'm saying that based upon what we saw going into that election, we almost came right up against the last 8 years being ramped up on steroids with Hillary Clinton coming in.
Yes.
And brother, the church would have had, we would have had the life strangled out of us.
For sure. Yeah.
And so, I mean, anyway,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Shemitah, all that happened in the Shemitah years.
Folks, the book is When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Implications of Ancient Prophecies for Our Times. You can get that at Carl's website. That's carlgallops.com. CarlGallops.com. Pastor Carl, WorldNet Daily books published published this book. Joseph Farrar is the CEO. He wrote a foreword for it, and I believe Joel Richardson, among many others, wrote an endorsement of it, of the book itself. And of course, Joel is known for his thinking, his writing on an Islamic Antichrist. And so I'm wondering if you'd address that for our listeners, and then I've got a couple of other questions that that really relate to the presence of Muslims and Islam in the end times.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, no. Joseph Farrar, of course, is the CEO of WND.com and WorldNet Daily and WND Books, and he did write the foreword. He loved the book and wrote the foreword for it, a very gracious foreword, and I'm extremely grateful to him and WND. Joel Richardson, I consider to be a dear friend. He is New York Times bestselling author of the book called The Islamic Antichrist and Mideast Beast. He's all over TV and radio talking about all of his postulations about Islam being tied to the somehow to the beast days, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, etc. How I feel about that is this. First of all, let me back up just a minute and say this. I'm always careful, as passionate as I am about things I believe I've discovered through the years of preaching and teaching, I try not to make the mistake of the Pharisees. Brother, think about it. Those were the religious leaders of their days, the people who made a living by arguing the scripture every day. And when the Christ came, he stood right in front of them, raised people from the dead, halted the wind and the waves, fed 10,000 with a few pieces of fish and bread in his hands, raised the sick, the lame, healed the blind, on and on and on. And they called him Beelzebub.
Yes.
And they nailed him to a cross in the name of God, thinking they were doing God a favor. They crucified the Son of God in the city of God, right outside the temple of God, and pat themselves on the back because they all had been serving God on that day. Now, brother, that's scary.
It is.
And the thing is, they had their eschatology so boxed in a little box and were so convinced that they were right with their charts and graphs and maps and everybody else was wrong that they missed Jesus Christ.
Yes, tragic.
So I try to be very careful about these things. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe, and please don't think I'm walking the fence. I just explained to you why I'm very careful.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe we're living the most profoundly prophetic time since Jesus Christ. I understand I've made 30, 40 years of my life preaching and teaching the Word. I've got master's level study in Greek and Hebrew and 93 semester hours of Master of Divinity work and all of that, plus the preaching and teaching and the books and the peer review and the world traveling and preaching. Now, that doesn't, not only does that not mean that I think I'm right about everything, it has served to show me how wrong I have been about things in the past. So when I look at the world in which we're living, I'm very studied and aware of the European Antichrist theory, the Jewish Antichrist theory, the Islamic Antichrist theory, et cetera, et cetera. I get it all. I understand everybody's arguments, and boy, people divide up into schools of thought, and they break fellowship with other Christians. I mean, that's no different than the Pharisees. That's exactly what the Jews were doing in Jesus' day. And so I'm going to say, look, I'm a student of the Word, and I'm a student of life. I'm watching closely, because there are all kinds of scenarios. It's called the mystery in the Bible. It's called the mystery of iniquity. That word mystery is there for a purpose. I believe one of the things it means, Brother Mike, is that we're not going to be able to chart and graph and map that thing out. We know what the Word says. We'll get some good hints. It'll give us directions in which to look. But we're not going to be able to proclaim with a dogmatic thing, I know how it's going to happen. Until it does. And then when it does, look out and hold on. And I'm telling you, I don't see how Islam cannot play a huge part in this Antichrist scenario of the last days. And let me explain why. Number one, Ezekiel 38 speaks of alignment of nations. So does Psalm 83. And it's last days, and it's against Israel. If you look at those nations, every single one of them are now Islamic. And you know what they're called in the Bible? They're called the armies of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. See, that's one of the things that Joel looked at and said, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean the Antichrist is Islamic, or does it mean those nations are under the rule of maybe a European leader who has sway over them? I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It could be several scenarios, but you cannot discount that. The Islamic power of this thing. Now think about this. The book of Revelation. It wasn't written in the Bible Belt of America. It wasn't written in Europe. It wasn't written to the church that I pastor. It was written to seven churches in the province of Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. And in those seven churches, one of them, Pergamum, Jesus told John, write this down. This is where Satan has his throne on earth. That the last book, the prophetic book, the book of eschatology, was written to the churches in Turkey. And those words tell us that the Middle East is where it's going to happen. The Euphrates River, I mean, I'm not getting into the timing of these things, but the sixth trumpet of Revelation is this massive World War III scenario that breaks out on the Euphrates River. Where does the Euphrates River start? In Turkey. In the mountains of Turkey. And it runs right through Syria and Iraq. Well, what's in Syria right now? China and Russia. Well, who are they aligned with? Iran and Turkey? Well, what's Turkey trying to do? They're trying to become the Islamic caliphate of the world again. ISIS has been born in just the last few years, which has created a refugee crisis, which has broken down the borders of Europe and the United States, the two largest Christian populations of the world. I mean, brother, can you not see it?
Yeah, it sure
Islam,
does.
Yeah. Islam has to have something to do with the Antichrist kingdom of the last days. Yeah. Whether the Antichrist is going to be Islamic, I don't know. But I tell you this: I've read the Quran, and I've read their writings about the Mahdi, their Savior, their Christ, and He is coming to crush the world with power. He is coming to kill the Jews and the Christians. He's coming to slay the people of the book. I mean, that sounds like the Antichrist.
It does.
So how can Islam have nothing to do, as some people are prone to say today, with the Antichrist and his kingdom, when the Bible is screaming in our face that it's got something to do with it, brother? Does that make sense?
It sure does. Some of the good news, some of the best news, in fact, coming out of the Middle East is the numbers of Muslims and even Jews that are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really a prophetic fulfillment.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, people, man, that to me, that answers the age-old question of, well, is there going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days, like Joel seems to indicate? Mm-hmm. Or is there going to be a great falling away and apostasy, like Jesus and Paul and Peter talk about? I mean, you know, which one is it going to be? And I like telling people, I don't know, was the Messiah going to come out of Egypt? Or was he going to come out of Bethlehem? Or was he going to come out of Galilee? Because there are scriptures that say that he's going to come out of Egypt. I'm going to call my son out of Egypt. There's another one that says I'm going to bring him out of Bethlehem. And there's another one that says, no, he's going to come along the shores of Galilee. There's another one that seems to indicate he might come out of Nazareth. So which one is it? It's all of them.
Yeah.
It was all of them.
Yeah.
You see, we just didn't know it until it all came together in one person.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing now with, well, is it going to be an outpouring or is it going to be an apostasy? My answer is, based upon what I'm seeing now, it's both of them.
It's both, yeah.
The great Christian nation of America is slipping into apostasy.
Yeah.
China is slated to be the number one Christian nation in total sheer size by the year 2030, less than a dozen years away, because the United States is falling away into apostasy. Chinese Christians who live in underground Christian churches on the penalty of going to prison, they are exploding in their faith. Jews, Orthodox Jews around the world are coming to Christ by the tens of thousands. hundreds of thousands around the world, many, many, many thousands inside Israel right now. There are secret meeting rooms, Bible study rooms, where Orthodox Jews slip away because they can't tell their families yet, because their families will disown them. They will lose jobs, home, heritage, everything. But they're slipping away to Bible study rooms, and they're reading and they're studying about Jesus Christ as Savior, and many of them are being saved. And I know this for a fact because I have Jewish, former Orthodox Jewish friends who are now Christians, born and raised in Israel, speak multiple languages. I've got dear friends who call me and tell me about all of this, and they're involved in the underground Jesus movement in Israel. Muslims, Al Jazeera, I've got this documented in my book, Al Jazeera, the largest Islamic media center in the world, they had to admit just a few years ago, they ran a special admitting that 6 million Muslims a year are coming to Jesus Christ as Savior in Africa alone. Wow. And many more millions around the world, in Indonesia and even in the Middle East. They're coming to Christ around the world, Muslims. There is an outpouring. The Spirit of God is being poured out. Muslims are having dreams about Jesus, and they're coming to Jesus. They're having visions and dreams. You can get on the internet and just Google it, research it. You'll see it. You'll hear their testimonies. You'll watch them on YouTube. Jews are having Jesus dreams. They're coming to Christ. But America's falling away.
Yeah. Yeah.
The largest Christian nation. We just said that gay marriage is just fine with us.
Yeah.
And our politicians are saying, hey, it's settled law. Let's get on. Let's everybody love each other. Puppies, breath, and daffodils.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So both are happening at the same time, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liken it, Pastor Carl, to the book of Revelation. You mentioned that already in speaking to the seven churches, the Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea. I always look at that as those two types of churches running parallel. One is in full-blown apostasy, and yet the other, according to the Lord Jesus, has a door open that no one can shut because they've been faithful to him. And,
and
so
good.
I see that running parallel. And so there's still times of much fruit in America, but we're also, to your point, the church in America, many of the mainline and other churches are in apostasy for what they're now teaching and celebrating and advocating for in America. So what could we say to our listeners, Pastor Carl, that would be a word of encouragement? And really, I guess we're speaking to two bodies. We're speaking to the remnant. We want to encourage them to stay the course, to keep contending for the faith, as we're encouraged to do in Jude. But also, how about those who have kind of taken a step back and they've allowed some things to come into their life? They really need to come back to the Lord and repent. How can we encourage both of those groups together to get back in the fight?
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks. Well, you've already given a great word of encouragement and appeal, and I'll just add to that and by saying, look, again, let me reiterate, we're living in the most profoundly prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ. These are not the times to fall away. These are the times to get off the bench, get in the game.
Yes.
If you're in the game, stay in the game. Get engaged, stay engaged. Never grow weary of doing good. Esther, let's go back to Esther. We've been raised up for such a time as this, Brother Mike. These are our days. We're only here. Hey, you and I are not setting dates. We're not running around wringing our hands, but we're telling the church, look, we're only here 70 or 80, maybe 90 years if we're blessed. We're not guaranteed of another day. We're here to be ambassadors of the kingdom. We may not like the times we live in, but oh well, these are our times. And God has put us here. We're breathing his air. He's letting our heart beat. Let's make a difference for his kingdom. Let's advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ in all of the ways that we can. That's why we're here. Soon, he's bringing heaven and earth together under one head, Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. And we're going to be held accountable for what our part was in that. So, Christians, put a smile on your face. And here's how I tell Christians to live. Mow the grass, pay the bills, plan for the future, invest for the future, send your kids to college. We don't know what the day or the hour is. But in the meantime, don't be silly. Don't be stupid. Don't ignore what's happening in the world around you. The times are urgent. Get engaged and stay engaged. Does that make sense, Brother Mike?
That's a great word, Pastor Carl. The book is When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Implications of Ancient Prophecies for Our Days. You can get that at Pastor Carl's website, carlgallops.com. Carl, I'm looking forward to meeting you in Dallas at the end of March and the first couple of days of April. I think it's going to be a great conference. And I do want to announce also for our listeners that can't make that trip, there will also be an option to live stream that. And you can, again, go to Hear the Watchman website and sign up for that live streaming of the entire conference. I think it's going to be a real blessing to all those that are able to attend. It certainly will be a word of encouragement over several days for the remnant to do exactly as Pastor Carl said, get in the fight and stay in the fight. I'll give you the last word, Pastor.
Yeah, no, I just amen what you said, and thank you. And I'm so honored to be a part of that. The people that invited me, the organizers, I was just blown away to be asked, and looking forward to it. A lot of great folks I want to meet. You're right at the top of the list. I'm looking forward to meeting you personally. And we'll have a great time together. I know last year there were 200 baptisms, professions of faith, yes. And I pray there'll be hundreds more this year, maybe more. And I know, you know, that the Lord's going to use this. I'm honored to be a part of it.
Yes, as am I. Thank you very much for taking the time to join me. I know you're very busy, and I know that this conversation will bless many, many people. So thank you again.
I pray so, Dr. Mike. God bless you. Thank you so much for having me.
God bless you, brother.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and of course follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. You can visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.